It's like there's 9 really cool rings.
And one of them is just like a bad disguise ring that just gives you like a hat and a little mustache.
No, it does like the fake nose and the big glasses and the mustache. It's like, yes, it's me, the 10th ring.
The 10th ring is just a ring pop, actually.
The 10th. Oh, hey.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Great.
Good. You're listening to Add a Dodge, a podcast hosted by us. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Shane.
And we went to film school. On this podcast, we talk movies, TV shows, visual media, things that make us excited. And remember, like, 2 episodes ago when I was like, hey, we're not a comic book movie podcast, guys, just chill out. Guess what?
we're back baby.
We're back in the thick of it. I mean, here's the thing, it's not our fault, right? We can't control it. It's just what's happening and what's trending. Marvel has been doing some crazy cool stuff in the past, honestly, just the past few months, and we're here to talk about it a little bit, and then we're going to jump into some fun stuff, something a little different than we normally do. But so this week, this Friday, potentially the same day that you could be listening to this very podcast, Falcon Winter Soldier will have its season? Series finale? Who knows?
Probably season, but yeah.
I feel it could be series finale.
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of room with these two characters. Compared to WandaVision, which was obviously a one-off.
Yes, yeah.
I feel like there's maybe room here, but I don't know.
How have you been liking this new show?
I've been really enjoying it. The most recent episode I really liked, even though it was basically two dudes fix a boat. And if you had told me a year ago, hey, one of the episodes of this action show is going to be two dudes fixing a boat, I'd be like, ugh, whatever. But it's really good.
If you told me during when I was in the theaters for Captain America, the Winter Soldier, that, hey, you see Bucky up there? He's going to be fixing a boat with Falcon in about, I don't know, 4 to 5 years. I would say, get out of my house. It's something that I didn't know I wanted. Kind of like WandaVision. I didn't know that I wanted WandaVision. And then it happened, and I was like, okay, that was pretty good. But this one, I'm a little bit more stoked, I have to say.
Yeah.
It feels more, I don't know, comprehensive is not the right word, but...
grounded, concrete.
Complete? Kinda, I mean, confident, I guess?
More. It's more sure of itself, I guess. It's also maybe an easier premise to get across.
Yes,
in terms of like,
sure.
Well, there are these bad guys, and there's this other bad guy, and these two good guys gotta get them all. You know what I mean?
That tracks.
Obviously, there's more going on, but I just meant like the through line is easier than... emotional breakdown, giant red dome, witch battle.
That's a surprisingly apt description, and it kind of gave me a headache. We're going to go into some spoilers a little bit, because I want to talk to you about something.
Yeah, sure.
So episode 5 had a post-credit scene with John Walker, ex-Captain America, building a shield for himself out of garbage and his medals. And I just want to ask, how long do you think until he just gets his ass beat by someone and then they're like, oh.
There's the original shield made out of literal vibranium.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sam is either going to have a new suit and or new wings that are also made out of vibranium against trash. I feel like our buddy John, and by buddy I mean human piece of garbage John, not going to last too long, perhaps.
I don't think so either.
Do you know who the woman is? Because I do.
Is it Madam Hydra?
Yep.
Yeah. So, Madam Hydra approaches a less than honorably discharged John Walker and says, hey, do you want to make a suicide squad maybe? See you later. You know, I'm curious to see what happens. I don't know. Not that Hydra has had its day in the sun, but I'm kind of open to new villains. Not gonna lie. I personally would love a Thunderbolts kind of
situation.
Yeah,
I'm hearing about that I've been hearing a lot of rumors regarding that, especially since Zemo is going to the raft, the easy-to-escape raft, might I add. And I mean, also, we have, like, characters like Ghost out there who, like, were villains but could be reformed. There's a lot of people with that kind of potential to join a redemption, former supervillain kind of squad.
Ghost could play, like, the Katana of the group, who's...
Because she's got your back.
Kind of like the handler, yeah.
But I would be very open to a Thunderbolts or kind of like a like an offshoot kind of team, like a shitty Avengers. Like, I'd be super into that.
I do want more Avengers. And by that, I mean different groups, different teams. So I guess not Avengers.
I mean, we'll get Young Avengers. I'm like 110%
sure. I mean, 100%,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm excited for that.
Oh, so the other huge thing,
yes,
to come out from the MCU, from Marvel, we got the trailer for Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings.
You're damn right we did.
I'm hyped.
It looks cool, and I'm into it.
It's kind of like a long time coming. I don't know when they announced that they were going to do this, but I feel like it's been a long while.
Yeah, it's been a little too long, but also it was delayed because of
Waterworld Sunshow.
Yep.
I also like that it doesn't necessarily look, you know, like a Captain America, or it doesn't look like, I don't know, like an Ant-Man. Like, it doesn't have the Marvel vibe to it.
They're dedicating the world and, like, the vibe to this hero to make him unique.
You know, I'm curious to see what they do. I've heard rumors that it's kind of, there's a part that is a little Mortal Kombat-esque, like a tournament thing, you know?
Okay, yeah.
I noticed in the trailer, it's probably CGI because it's the future, but it looks like there's might be some wire work, you know, like reminiscent to old Kung Fu movies from like the 70s and 80s, which makes me super excited because there's not a lot of Western... And I'm saying Western in, like, quotations, but, like, Western films that use wires in the same way that, you know, Chinese filmmakers, Japanese filmmakers did back in the day. And it's super cool. It just has, like, a really interesting look to it.
Yeah, I've always liked the fluidity of that kind of action work, because even if it's a little absurd at times, it's still cool. And really, the physicality of it, I think, is great and really fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just so stoked to actually see people that are good at martial arts do stuff. No offense, Iron Fist, but...
Some offense.
I'm hyped. It looks real cool. I want to see more, obviously. I think that was just a teaser.
Yeah, when... I think it's coming out in September.
Great. There's no definitive date for some reason.
I think we'll be good.
I would hope so. I don't know when I want to go back to a movie theater, but if it's to see this, I might expedite my
own
discomfort.
I'll die for you, Shang-Chi.
I mean, it's those 10 rings. I gotta have them.
One of them has to be immunity.
I don't know anything, really, about this
character. I know nothing at all.
And I've been watching YouTube videos of people being like, well, it's different because of this. Apparently, his father in the comics was named Fu Manchu. Which, like, oh, Jesus. I think it was around, like, the first issue was around the same time as the Ye Olde Yellow Scare, you know? They've changed it for the better, and now I think his father's the Mandarin.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool, pretty cool. Because the last time we saw that name was Iron Man 3, and it was fake.
It was a bit.
So, yeah, I'm hyped.
But yeah, the future, I don't want to talk too much about the future because I know that we've laid out the future slate of Marvel about 13 times in episodes in the past.
We have.
Suffice it to say, though, there's a lot going on. A lot of it's good. A lot of, like, more diverse films, which is sorely needed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, like, kind of, I wouldn't say risky movies, but more ambitious. Like,
yes.
More like, we're going to create a whole world with this, and we're going to do... crazy ass things, and it's not just going to be blah 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 set up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad about that.
I am also glad. I'm curious to see. Well, we're not going to talk about the future.
Nope. Yeah, future. Talk.
I'm holding it back. But in spirit of looking back and not looking forward,
we're looking back.
We decided that it'd be fun to do a few Marvel quizzes. To test our knowledge as
true real fans,
true real fans, And if we don't get 100% on all these quizzes, I'm going to shave my head.
We're going to delete the podcast. Man.
We're going to delete the podcast. Welcome to the Quiz Bowl. That's my song for the Quiz Bowl.
Okay, you ready for the big leagues?
The screen rant. Endgame quiz to see how well you actually know the movie.
So what character saves Tony Stark from space?
Captain Marvel, Captain America, Peter Quill, or Thor? It's Captain Marvel. What Guardians of the Galaxy characters were left after the snap? But Nebula and Rocket, right? Because it's
That's the answer. Where did Thor settle down with the rest of the Asgardians after the initial snap?
Because so the options are Iceland, Sweden, Norway, or Denmark.
I think maybe Norway. I don't know. All right, so let's just guess on Norway. Where did Ant-Man end up after returning from the Quantum Realm? A storage facility, middle of the ocean, an underground warehouse, a rooftop. It's a storage
facility. Dude, how terrible would that be if it was the middle of the ocean? The movie would be over.
Yeah, it'd be dead. But also, all time would have flooded, so I guess everyone would be dead. If water goes through that portal, I guess all life ends. What was Hawkeye doing in the 5-year time span while the Avengers were adjusting to the loss?
Getting a bad haircut.
Starting a new family. Well, that would have been fucked up, Hawkeye.
That would have been so fun.
That would have been really fucked up, dude. Traveling to other planets? No. Spending time with Black Widow? No.
Aggressively,
becoming a vigilante? That was his bit. What is the name of Iron Man's daughter? Morgan.
Yeah, it is Morgan.
Did it in one, baby. After reuniting with Tony and Nebula, how did the team track down Thanos?
Thanos sent them a message. Captain Marvel stumbled upon it. Thanos used the Infinity Stones a second time. Tony Stark invented a tracking device.
It's the Infinity Stone.
It's the Infinity Stone thing.
They track down the energy with science. Why was Tony Stark reluctant to help the team build the time machine?
Because
he didn't
want
to lose again. He was getting too old.
Pepper asked him
not
to.
He didn't want to jeopardize his family life. It's that one.
It's the family life. You know, the selfish thing. Just kidding. It's fine.
Hey, he died.
He did.
Who was responsible for ending Thanos after the team found him on the uninhabited planet? Thor.
Yeah, Thor cut his little noggin off.
It's pretty hot.
I remember seeing that and being like, so what's the movie now? Where did Thor and Rocket travel to find the Reality Stone?
Asgard. Who made the ultimate sacrifice so the team could retrieve the Soul Stone? It's Black Widow. In an alternate past timeline, how does Loki escape captivity? What a sentence that sums up what Marvel is. He used Tesseract.
Yeah, he uses the Tesseract.
What year did Tony, Steve, Bruce, and Scott... They just sound like regular dudes.
I know, they're so irregular.
What year do they travel to in order to retrieve 3 of the Infinity Stones? I think it's
2012.
Well, that's when the battle happened in New York.
Yes.
The incident, sorry.
How did past Thanos... discovered the Avengers present time plan.
This is a movie I love. This is a movie I love and stand by, but hearing it described to me makes me go, wait a minute. Present Nebula wanted to make amends with her father. Gamora traveled through time and learned their secrets. Past Nebula and present Nebula's communications were linked. That's it. We don't have to read the last one. What was one of the dangers of traveling back in time? It's cancer. According to Dark. Anyway, creating alternate realities, disrupting the future, getting caught, falling asleep.
I love now falling asleep.
You might fall asleep. You're gonna wake up. Uh-oh, it's 1866. Oh no.
I slept too long.
I think it's creating alternate realities.
It is the alternate realities.
Because they want to disrupt the future. Because it's bad.
Yeah, I know.
In search of the Infinity Stones, how did 2014 Thanos time travel to the present? Nebula put the ship in her pocket.
I mean, yeah.
Present Nebula told him what to do. He used the time stone. Past Nebula had gone in present Nebula's place to operate the damage headset.
Yes, that one.
It was a time travel trick.
Too many nebulas. After Loki escapes with the Tesseract in 2012, what year do Tony and Steve travel to next?
70?
70s? 60s? Because Sharon's, you know, still bopping around doing things.
Sharon?
Nope.
Peggy.
Carter.
And Stan Lee is like, make love, not war.
I'd say 70s. No, 60s.
That's my struggle. Well, let's think about it. Okay, but if...
Well, because think about when... Okay, when was Tony Stark born? Howard's wife,
yeah.
Mrs. Stark, was pregnant with Iron Man.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 60s. I'm gonna be real with you.
I feel like Iron Man being 50 makes more sense than him being 60. But again, I could be fucking basing it off goddamn nothing.
Oh, you're convincing me real well, though. I'm real bad at this. I'm real bad at being a free thinker.
I'm gonna go with 70, but I could be wrong.
Okay, I'm gonna click 70s. You've done a good argument, I think. It's 70s.
Who did Captain America fight to retrieve the Mind Stone? Himself.
It is himself, yeah.
Who did Tony Stark run into when he and Steve Rogers traveled to 1970?
God, we could have scrolled.
We could have just scrolled and cheated. It's important to read the question. Because it says, who did Tony Stark run into? And the answer is Howard Stark. Even though they have Peggy Carter in here to trick you.
Howard Stark, because he's looking for Zola. Which of these three characters battle Thanos before the others arrive? Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man. Because they all punch a bit.
Who uses the Infinity Stones to resurrect all of those who were lost in the first snap? This is an important question. We have to read it. Because the answer is Bruce. Because he's the one that can withstand the resurrection snap. So that's true. Why we pick him to do it. Even though Tony's the one who snaps it at the end.
Yeah, well, he just snaps it to kill the
Kill the baddies. To kill the baddies.
That's what he did. He was like, no more baddies. What did Falcon say to Captain America when the rest of the Avengers arrived to fight Thanos one last time?
On your left.
Oh, it's on your left. Surprise! The options are missed me, surprise, guess who's back, or on your left.
The quiz is still going, team. There's a lot of questions.
This is a lot of questions. What color scheme is Pepper Potts' suit? Oh, it's blue and whatever. Or purple and silver?
It's got to be purple. I know it's purple. What did Captain America say when all the MCU heroes appeared on the battlefield? I don't know. I wonder if it was Avengers Gather. I think that's it.
It's actually Avengers Forever.
Or Avengers Unite. It's Avengers Assemble. Cause that's the
Avengers thing. Forever.
Who decimates Thanos' warship in the final battle? I'm not reading them all. It's Captain Marvel.
It's Captain Marvel.
Who said, as long as there are those that remember what was, there will always be those that are unable to accept what can be? Long quote.
Thanos. Who does Iron Man have an emotional reunion with after Hulk brings everyone back?
Spider-Man.
Evan Thor, who is worthy enough to wield Mjolnir.
Mew-mew.
Captain America.
Question 29. I guess there are 30 of these. Who uses the Infinity Stones to snap Thanos and his soldiers out of existence once and for all? It's Iron Man, baby. Who time travels in order to return the Infinity Stones back where they were found?
It is Captain America. What does Morgan tell Happy she wants to eat after Tony's funeral?
Cheeseburgers.
Spoilers? Cheeseburgers. That's a spoiler.
Oh my god, there's more questions. Who just Thor a point as the new king of Asgard?
Valkyrie. She's the only one that's doing things.
What is the name of this character who attended Tony's funeral?
It's the little boy from Iron Man 3.
Uh-oh. It's not Ned Leeds. We can knock that out. That's from Spider-Man.
Okay, it's not Harvey. That's a man's
name. I think
name.
It is Harvey. No, it's a weird... No, I think it's Harley.
I think it's Harley.
Potentially. I think it's Harley.
Because, like, I think he might make a comment, like, about the, he's like, oh, like, the bike or something? I don't know. I'm going to say Harley.
Yeah,
okay,
baby.
I think it was. Why does Steve Rogers decide to stay in the past?
To fuck.
I mean, truly it is. So he can live a full life happy with Peggy Carter.
That's it. To which character does Steve pass on his shield and legacy? It would be Falcon.
John Walker. I'm kidding.
You ready to see your results?
I've got 100%. I know it.
100%, bitch. We're 100%. The fucking kings of the goddamn planet. So, welcome to Middle Watch, the part of the show where we watch an episode randomly in the middle of a series with absolutely no context, and we just kind of riff on it. Usually it's bad, but I want to say up front that we do like television and we're not trying to be mean. We're just trying to have fun because we can't watch everything. So we're just going to watch a little bit of everything. So today we watch Tribes of Europa, specifically Chapter 3. I also want to say I'm a big believer in naming your episodes because it's kind of cool. It's kind of like naming a chapter. I think it's a fun thing to do. Why would you just be like, it's 3? Just call it Sad Time in Prison. That's it.
Accurate. So it's a German show, and I think Dark, which was also German, did the same thing, but they just repeated the numbers. So it's like Season 1, Episode 1, and then it's like Season 2, Episode 1. And that got confusing when you're like, oh, I'm on Episode 1. It's like, of what? Of which season?
I'm in the episode where the world ends. Oh, yeah, which time?
Yeah.
That's the magic of dark. Anyway, so we're talking about Tribes of Europa, a different show. About some stuff. So the episode begins, and we get the backstory right away. Not that it makes a lick of goddamn sense.
Nope.
But this old guy named Moses, I believe, is driving this really shitty van, and he's talking to this kid, and he's like, well, you know, there was a global blackout, a thing that can't happen. But it did happen anyway, mm-hmm. and all the technology went off, and he's like, land, sea, air, it's all gone, while he's driving a van. So
yeah,
maybe not all gone, no, but
partially
there was
gone.
A global blackout that destroyed the world, and this kid has a magic cube. Which I guess is not super important because you only see it for like maybe 5 minutes out of this hour-long episode.
Yeah.
They say Atlanteans, and I have a lot of questions about that specifically. Because they also mention an Atlantean jet fighter that crashed, and I'm like, jet fighter? I thought the whole thing about Atlantis is that it's
that?
In
it
the water.
I think they're called the Atlanteans or whatever because
they're
like mysterious. You know, and
okay.
like
so they're just saying words
yeah,
in Europe.
Yeah. Well, because the van man was like, no one knows where they come from. And then I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, the lost city of Atlantis. So I feel like it's more of like a nickname than like what they actually identify themselves as. I could be wrong, and it could be a dumb show. So, you know.
And then he also mentions, he's like, and no one knows where the lost ark of the Atlanteans is. And I'm like, that sounds like a fucking MacGuffin if I ever heard one. And it's probably the cube. We jump over to Tragedy Girl, whose name is Liv. And she's like, my whole family's in prison, and it's awful. And I'm like, okay, that seems bad. But then we jump over to something even worse.
Meth prison.
Meth prison. Nazi meth prison, might I
add. Yeah, so this dude, he's like, congrats, you are now in meth prison. You're going to have to fight, or not fight, you're going to have to ground up some meth and put it in plastic baggies. And that's your job for eternity, till you die. And he's like, I need to get out of here. I don't even remember his name. But he's like, I got to get out. And they're like, well, there's only one way people get out. There's like a death match, and whoever wins becomes a crow.
Oh, it's Keanu. It's Keanu.
Keanu, spoilers alert, is surprisingly jacked.
I'm actually surprised they can keep him in there.
Because like at the end of the episode, his shirt gets torn off. The man's a Captain America. He's a real Winter Soldier type. Like, he's a little boy, but he's buff as hell. And I'm just bamboozled about it. A little intrigued and mostly surprised. But bamboozled as all hell. Anyways, so he's in
the show at large, yeah.
I mean, that's true. He's in meth prison. It's run by some, you know, Hunger Games looking woman. There's a whole thing. There's a whole subplot about. So there's these people called the Crow, which
they're the bad guys, yeah.
They're the bad guys, but it's also kind of like, isn't everyone a little bit of the bad guys?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, there's some that are worse than others, I would assume.
Well, yeah, the good guys, they call themselves the Crimson, or at least the people we root for and are with. Are mm-hmm. called the Crimson, right? And they captured one of the Crow, and she's in a prison. And then we have a character named Liv, and she's, like, trying to interrogate this Crow lady. But at the same time, it's like, oh, what side is she playing? Because she's kind of like, I'll help you break out if you tell me how to do stuff. But then when she talks to the soldier dude, David, on the other side,
mm-hmm.
she's like, well, this prisoner's being so unhelpful, but I'm really with you guys. And you're like, oh, what's going on? So a lot of dumb stuff happens, but then it becomes undumb. That's the show. So she's like, hey, David, soldier guy, I need to talk to the prisoner lady one more time, but you need to come with me. And I'm like, David?
David, you're going to die.
Well, you can't go, David, please. But he goes. And then she almost kills him, and she breaks the lady out of prison, and they go on the run. And you're like, Liv, what are you doing? I feel like the Crow are bad because of the Nazi work camp.
Yeah.
That your family is also trapped in. And Crow Lady is trying to sell Big Crow. She's like, listen, what if you were with your family?
Look, I know your family's in prison, but what if you also went to prison?
And I'm like, this is a weird sell, lady. But they're just, everything they do seems real bad. And then they're getting close. Crow Lady lets her guard down and she's like, well, we're just going to take you. There's this one specific subway route under this hill and it leads right into the like main compound. And I'm like, that's... Why would you have that?
Yeah, that's insane.
And then Liv's like, you fucked up, bitch. And she fires a flare into the air. And then the soldiers, like, come out of the woods and capture both of them. And it's like, got ya.
And then her and David proceed to have some tent sex. So that's cool. She gets cleared for medical. So they're like, hey, you're good.
So the apocalypse is bad, but we still have lights, we have cars, and we have medical.
It just looks like more trees, honestly. Here's the big premise about this show, right? So it takes place in Europa, which I'm assuming is like the continental part of Europe, excluding the UK. There's also tribes, because apparently governments fell apart, which is honestly surprising to me. considering military power.
Confusing, yeah.
But so they're just like, yeah, people broke into tribes of like 12 people and more. And, you know, that's who rules Europa now. And I'm like, I feel like it would just be whoever has the biggest stick, you know?
So the big problem with a lot of these things, it's not a problem, I guess. I mean, the Hunger Games says this too.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the rest of the world doing? Is the world just like, all right, whatever? Or did everybody die because, you know, somebody turned all the power off? A thing you can't do? So I don't know. It's just kind of a weak apocalypse. I'm going to say it.
Well, because it feels like, what's that show? The power button as their logo. Oh,
all right. Well, you brought it out of me. I was going
to bring
it up.
Yeah, we have to talk about it.
So it's Revolution, which I think was on NBC for a bit. It was actually created by the guy who made... It had a very similar premise because it was all about trying to, like, we got to rebuild America. The Monroe Republic is trying to destroy all the American flags and trying to kill everybody. And we have these devices that can bring the power back because the power was destroyed by a thing. And everything's in ruins now. You know, it was pretty bad. The first season was kind of, like, generic. But I will say, season two, one of the wildest fucking things I've ever seen in my life. Because they do a complete 180. And they're like, remember how we said the government collapsed? Well, it didn't. The Republicans are back. They hid in Guantanamo Bay. They killed all the prisoners. Took their food. They hid there. And then they used a fucking spy to nuke two cities. Then they invaded. Then they used mustard gas and waterboarding to try to take over America again. And I'm like,
what?
Oh my god. So much. And I'm not saying it all worked. But the ambition I respected.
That's just an, like, insane
fucking
thing.
Wild. Also, they when they first made the show, they were like, the main character is this girl named Charlie. And I was like, okay. Well, what's her personality? And they were like, well, she's a girl. And I'm like, okay. Anything else? And they're like, no. But eventually, they were like, we're going to let the main character be this dude, Miles, who is more of a Han Solo type and has a cool backstory. And I'm like, good decision. Not good enough, because also the thing that took out the power was nanites. And I'm not a scientist. But if you create something that eats electricity, I think it would destabilize the universe.
What do they run on, you know?
Yeah, what do they run on? Electricity? Do they eat themselves?
Yeah. What's up with that?
Revolution was a wild time and it had the same kind of concept. But yeah. I think the core premise is just flawed because you can't do that.
Yeah, and I get wanting to be like, well, it's a world without technology.
Just have it get bombed out. Just have a meteor hit. There are a lot of ways to get there. The power going out is a side effect. It can't be the disease.
The cause, yeah.
Yeah. In sad prison work camp.
Dude, it's real bad in there.
Our boy Keanu is like, I gotta get out of here. And then his friend,
his new friend,
Linus is like, hey, you can do this fight thing. Like, you can fight a prisoner in, like, this, like, tournament. And if you win, then you can leave. And I'm like, that sounds not like a thing they would do. Keanu notices that some people are illegally smuggling the meth out. And they're also working with this guy, Gregor, who's kind of like one of the watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, one of the Nazi guards. And he's like, I know, I'll turn them in. And he tries to do that, but then Linus is like, I'm a bitch, actually, and ambushes him, and then sends a dude with a knife after him, and they fight in this fucking, like, crazy-ass well thing, covered in water, and Keanu pulls some fucking crazy-ass parkour moves. He's flipping, he's diving, he's, like, rolling around, and he manages to stab the dude in the neck, and then he stabs him about 18 times in the back, because he's like, it's been a day for me, and I'm tired of fascism.
How did they even catch him? That's my question.
I don't know how they catch him. He's so strong and quick.
He's so strong and buff and quick. Yeah, so, honestly, I'm more invested in his story, because it looks terrible.
It's just, I also feel like the cube thing is not super interesting, and the whole show is obviously about this cube. There's an Atlantis cube that this little kid has, and they bring it to this woman, Amina, who's, like, in the middle of nowhere. It's like a giant pyramid in the grassland. You know how Germany is.
Yeah.
So they go over to this pyramid, and, like, can you fix this impossible technology from space civilization? And she's like, yeah, fucking whatever. And they fix it, and it turns on, and it flies around the room, and it shows, like, what looks kind of like an astronaut lady, and then a bunch of smoke, and then it turns off, and I'm like... Okay.
There was a lot going on in this episode, not gonna lie. It wasn't a Merlin, per se, but there was more than not happening, you know?
No, I didn't hate it either, but I also felt like it was partially stalling because they were like, oh, we gotta battle these people later, and I'm like, okay, well.
It felt very Divergent to me, minus the YA aspect of it. Did you see, you saw Divergent, yeah?
I read all of them, it's bad, yeah.
But did you watch them?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Can I drop a fun fact about Divergent real quick?
Yeah, go for
it. So they made, so it's three books, I think. I think the first book's fine. I think the rest of it's terrible. Don't recommend.
Sounds good.
But so three books, and they're like, we're going to make four movies because Hollywood. So they made three of them, and people did not like. People really did not like the last one. And they're like, we don't know what to do. We're going to make a TV movie of the last film. And all the actors were like, I'm not doing that. That's not what I wanted to do. That's not what I agreed to do. And so the project imploded.
Good.
So we have three Divergent films out there. Not going to get that fourth where, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's just so
No, tell
bad.
Me. Who's being like, oh, don't spoil Divergent for me.
So some Nazi scientist in a wheelchair shoots. I don't know if he's a Nazi. It just feels like he is.
Sure.
Some crazy ass scientist. The plot of Divergent is that they try to find the murder gene, which seems racist and is not real.
Uh-huh.
They try to find the murder gene in people by genetically modifying them, but then it ends the planet because everyone goes crazy. So the whole reason they have the city is to do experiments. I'm cutting it. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, the main character of the books that you've been following for years gets shot by some crazy scientist in a wheelchair during a super dumb fight. And the book ends with her boyfriend deciding not to kill himself. And it's like, it's fine because at least you knew her, right? And I'm like, it's not great. You know? It's not like Katniss exploded, you know? Like, what is this? Cutting it.
What happens in the end of Hunger Games?
Oh, she, her sister gets murdered by, Coin, by the leader of District 13, so she shoots her with an arrow, you know, fair is fair, and then she goes back to West Virginia, and she cries a lot because, you know, and then PETA shows back up, and they just live together, and then she has children because, you know, That's what women do, so it's not a great ending either.
Oh, man. Can I tell a little quick, funny, Divergent story? I had jaw surgery in high school.
Fuck yeah.
And I couldn't speak, and I had a friend who was like, do you want to go see a movie? Can I get you out of the house, you know? And I was like, because I couldn't speak. No, I was like, yeah, sure, let's go. And so we went, and I wanted to see something. I forget what it was. And then she was like, well, I want to see Divergent. And I couldn't protest the mouth thing, right? And So we watched Divergent in theaters. And then afterwards, she was like, oh, did you like it? Did you like Divergent? And I was like, no, it's terrible. It's garbage. It made no goddamn sense. And she said, well, I thought you liked movies. And I'm like, that... That's why I don't like this, because I like movies. Oh man, good friend. Is it even worth to talk about the rest of this? I mean, I guess we kind of summed up. I think we talked about everything.
At the end, Keanu gets captured, and he's like, but your bad guys are smuggling meth. And the lady's like, I don't care, death by wire, I don't know what that is. And then it ends. Tribes of Europa, everybody. You're probably not gonna watch anymore.
You know, if I'm really, really bored, I might, because like, here's the thing. Visually and like aesthetically, it's well done. You know, the acting's pretty good. I'm invested in my buff friend over here, but this is a brand new series from Netflix, so maybe there'll be more.
Welcome to Newstown, where we tell you about stuff you already know.
Mm-hmm.
we got Love, Death, and Robots season 2 finally announced, coming on May 14th.
Really,
but
soon.
In addition to that, they were like, well, we're going to work on the third season, which is another 8 episodes, and that'll be in 2022. So that's nice. That's comforting.
Yeah.
Love, Death, and Robots is kind of a weird anthology of animated stuff that's also usually super violent and kind of philosophical and like very adult oriented. And I kind of like that because it's like so fucking out there, and it's all these countries coming together with different animation styles to tell these different stories. The Flash has started filming. Don't really know anything about it other than I think Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton are going to be Batman in it.
Can they share one bat suit like at the same time? Like a three-legged race?
No,
but
they're standing
Batman
on top of each other, so they become a super tall Batman.
That's scary.
Obviously, Michael Keaton gets the face because
he's Batman.
Oh, something haunted. Rock'em Sock'em Robots is coming. a film adaptation.
We already had that.
I know.
It was called Real Steel.
Yeah, I know that. It's coming from the writer of Rampage, a film. Vin Diesel's in it. It's a father-son bond with an advanced war machine, which is Real Steel. But we're
That's
still
just Real
it.
Steel.
It's still happening. In better news, the Mad Max spinoff Furiosa is gearing up. I think they're going to start filming next year. They're looking at a possible 2023 release, which seems a little ambitious, but if most of the stunts are like physical, I guess it won't take as much time in post-production. Different cast though, you know, because it's like a prequel for Furiosa.
Is it not Charlize Theron anymore?
It's not.
I don't know if I like that.
I feel like a lot of the reason Fury Road worked is because of the cast.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious as to why we're going prequel territory. I've always kind of been like, why don't we just do the future?
Also, Mad Max isn't going to be in it. Not like he really brings too much to the table in the first
place.
Chris
Hemsworth is going to be in it. And I'm wondering if he's going to be like, I'm not Mad Max. And then he'll wink. And that'll be the film.
He's
just Mellow Max. He's Mellow Max. He's not
Angry
Mad
Bill.
He's timid Max. He's like, mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I should drive today. It's kind of rainy. That's the character he's bringing to the table.
Jesus.
But it's supposed to be like Australia's biggest film ever. It's going to bring like $350 million to the economy and 850 jobs. And it's going to be this huge ordeal. The story takes place over multiple years. So it's definitely going to be epic. I don't know what is going to happen, but here it comes.
You know what I wish we had?
No.
A Mad Max TV show.
That'd be cool.
That'd be pretty good. Get on HBO. Come on, chop chop.
The final season of Castlevania is coming on May 13th. I think mm-hmm. the first two seasons of that are great, and the third season is ass. But we'll see. Anyway, Emilia Clarke has either been cast or is in final talks to star in Secret Invasion, which is a new Marvel TV show, which is, I guess, about like Skrulls hiding on Earth or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. That's talent.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This is Trevor. I'm going to talk about the Cyberpunk 2077 bi-weekly update. So the newest patch was just... It's a hot fix, not a full patch. 1.21 was released on April 14th. A few fixes, a lot of kind of game-breaking bugs were hopefully weeded out, and some stability and UI stuff was added. They also got rid of the cops that just spawned behind you randomly when you're doing crimes, so that's good. And in a recent interview, one of the co-founders and I want to say project managers on Cyberpunk 2077 said that abandoning the game is not an option for them, which is pretty good. You know what? That's credit where credit's due. That's good. Obviously, we'll revisit that when they eventually abandon the game. But
in a future episode,
As of right now, you know, they're not going to pull an Anthem or a Mass Effect Andromeda. They still want it to be the vision of the game that you thought you were buying when you bought the game. So,
yep.
Fingers crossed they'll get to that point, and we'll see you back here in 2 weeks. So, Shane, where can people find us if they want to talk to us?
Well, if you have any recommendations for shows that you love or hate and want us to watch a little bit of, or you just want to say hey, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Out of Dodge Pod.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcast, go ahead and give us a like. No, not a like. You can't like things. You can give us a rating. You know, you can give us a little cheeky 5 stars if you want. Write a review. It helps us get noticed so more people can listen to our nonsense.
On this and on this. And welcome to our video.
We had a reptile. Wish it wouldn't have been alive.